chapter 19. I appreciate you boys getting the offering for me this morning. Appreciate y'all's help. Whoever brought me that cold cup of water, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee all the days of thy pilgrimage here on this earth. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter. When the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Rise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, why would you linger in a place like Sodom, boy? And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. But if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, we'd all be consumed. Amen? Being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they brought him forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. This guy's got more guts than anybody you ever met in your life. The angel of God has interceded on his behalf and delivered him and his family from sure destruction from the hand of the Lord. And this guy wants to argue about it on the way out of town in the midst of his deliverance." Now, if you're ever looking for a case where somebody's got guts, here it is. He may be wicked as hell, but he's got guts. He's stupid, but he's got guts. And he said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now, unto me and saving my life, escape to the mountain, let take me and I die." "Behold now, this city is near to flee unto. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." And see, the Lord, all them people that believe in the church is going through the rapture need to go back up here and read this thing, because the Lord can't do anything until he brings us out. Amen. He's got to deliver us from the city of destruction before the destruction comes. We are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation of the Lord. And the Lord, "Therefore, the name of the city was Sodom and Gomorrah." All the plain, all the Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us grace and liberty to preach. Now I pray the word of God might be quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. May it be a blessing to us. May it be a goad in our side. Encourage us in the things of God, and we will thank thee and praise thee for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I brought you a little message entitled, "It's Been a Journey." This is the sequel to that. It's entitled, "I Won't Turn Back." Now, I've got a sequel to this sequel that I'm going to bring next Sunday, amen, entitled, "I'm Going to Enjoy the Trip." And then I got a fourth one this morning. Seth was down the house, and we were talking and fellowshipping, and he wanted to know what I was preaching on, and I told him, and I told him about the sequels. And he said, "Well, Paul, you need to preach another one." Saying, "You need to preach one called I've Made the Trip." And I thought, that's good. So I added that one to the list, see, so now it's going to be four. Oh, man, that's a shame. I hate electronic stuff. Thank you, Sister Kathy.
I'm alive now? I'm alive. All right. Now, so there'll be four sermons in this series, because I like little Seffy's thought, and I thought I've made the trip. Bless God, they make the trip, there'll be some shouting going on, amen? So the Lord gave me a whole bunch of thoughts right off the bat. As soon as he said that, boy, it just clicked in my head. I said, thank you, preacher. All right, now, but this morning I want to bring you a little message entitled, I Won't Turn Back. Now, I brought you the message, It's Been a Journey, and we listed a number of things. I think there were like 15 points in that message, if I remember right, and things that where we started and where we're going to end up, and some of the things we've been through, and we go through the valley, and we go through the mountain, and we go through the rain, and all that. And so, sometimes the journey is a pleasure. Sometimes the journey is a toil. You know, you've probably been on vacation, and the first day or two, you really enjoy it. After you've been gone a week or so, you're ready to get back home. Amen. It ain't near as much fun after a couple of weeks as it was when you first started. I don't know about you, when I go on a trip, after 3 or 4 days, I'm wore out, and I'm tired of motel rooms, I'm tired of hotel food, and all. I want to go home. Amen. And so sometimes the journey is a blessing. Sometimes it's not so much fun, but you have to finish it. Amen. If you want to get home, you got to finish it. You get halfway and quit, you're never going to get home. I got to thinking about that. I'm not going to turn back. I've set out for Glory Land, and I'm not turning back. And over here in this passage we just read, Lot's wife is headed out of Sodom, headed down to the mountains or over to Zoar, and she turns and she looks back. And she really never should have done that. The Bible said over in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, but now, after they have known God, or are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why would you turn back? Amen. Who in the world would give a second look to Sodom and Gomorrah? Nobody in their right mind, buddy. I'm telling you what. When I'm leaving here, I'm not looking back. When the rapture comes and God snatches us out of here, there ain't nothing down here I want to see. Amen? I don't care if he's a big old fat Roman Catholic sitting on the bow of my boat smoking cigar and drinking wine. He's welcome to it. I ain't looking back. There ain't nothing down here I'm going to miss. I just want to go home to glory. Well, I got to thinking about that and I thought I'd share this with you. I'm not going to turn back. I look around at the world and I see people quitting things all the time. A little old boy meets a little old girl and they fall madly in lust. In love. And a lot of times you can't discern the difference, especially young people. They hadn't figured it out yet. They think the two things are the same thing. They're not the same thing. They've never been the same thing. They're never ever going to be the same thing. Amen? But boy, they're in love, and they go down, and they take a vow before God and man and say, you promise to love, cherish, honor, and obey, and all that stuff, in sickness and health, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, until death do us part. Now, if you'll look at them things, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and health, until death, there are no escape clauses. There's no place to quit. There's no place to turn back. You signed on and you took a contract and you took a vow before God and man to finish the thing. Amen. Amen? I hate divorce. I absolutely hate divorce. I've always hated divorce. Now, some of you are divorced and remarried. Thank God that God's been gracious to you. I'm not being critical or ugly of you. But God's perfect plan is for one man to marry one woman and stay together till you drop dead. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, but folks don't finish the course. They say, till death do we part, and then they quit. Amen? Folks buy a new car, and they sign up for 72 months. Now, if you got to sign a 72-month contract to get a vehicle, you don't need a car. Amen? You're going to pay about five times what that thing's worth. Don't be that stupid. Don't sign for over 48 months. That's outrageous. But the way they charge for me today, you can't do much better than that. But don't go that 60 and 72 month thing. You'll be in debt till Jesus comes. But they go out and they buy that brand new car. And then in a year, there's a new model out. And another year, there's a new model out. And this one looks old and drab and dreary. And you're not happy with it. You're not excited about it. And besides, now it's got a rattle. And it squeaks. And the ashtray is full. And, you know, it's not shiny and new anymore. You know what they do? They turn it in. The repo lots are full. There are whole companies that all they do is go around and pick up repossessed cars. I mean, that's what they do for a living. I know a guy, that's all he does. His whole living is just taking his wrecker and going around picking up this one and going around picking up that one. He told me there's a certain ball player that belongs to one of them Charlotte ball clubs up there. He said he's picked up his car 5 times. Guy making a couple $1 million a year, and he picked up his car. Say, why? They turned it back in. They didn't finish paying for it. They turned back on their commitment. They turned back on their promise. And boy, you get to thinking about it, the things that people start and turn back on. Little old kid, they see a musical instrument. They hear somebody play. Oh, I like that. I want to learn to play that. And you go out and you buy them that tuba or whatever it was they wanted, you know. Trombone. I don't know why anybody ever wanted to learn a tuba or a trombone. I mean, won't you learn to play some real instrument? Mama, if you'll go and spend $2,500 for that new piano, I'll learn to play. And they play for a couple of weeks, and they learn to play chopsticks and a couple of little things, and they learn 3 little chords and that kind. And then you got to beat them over the head to make them practice. I mean, you just got to take them by the nape of the neck and stuff them in front of the piano and stand there for an hour while they do their little thingy. And mom and daddy grow weary, and before you know it, they quit. They turn back. Now, every now and then, you get a little jewel like Jordan there that'll practice and wants to learn to play and got some talent, and thank God for that. But I tell you what, all across this country, there's hundreds and thousands of them that started and quit. And you can name almost anything you want to, and people start it and they quit. They go to college, and they quit, they turn back. They want to learn to fly an airplane. They get halfway through it, they turn back. They lack commitment. They don't finish it. And I'm here to tell you that in the Christian community, it is not any different. There are a lot of folks that say they got saved and they love God and they're going to make it to the city and they start out living for God and they get down the road a year or two or 5 or 6 and you know what to do? They turn back. They turn back. They turn back to the weak and beggarly elements of this present evil world. They want to go back to the old life and the old ways and the old friends and all that nonsense. And they ruin their life and they ruin their testimony and they harm the cause of Christ. So what happened? They turn back. And then I have to counsel with them. They come down and say, oh, we've got this problem and our children are doing that. And we've got this problem and that problem and things aren't going good. And the world's coming apart at the seam. Well, it ain't no wonder. You turn back on God. How do you expect Him to bless you when you took the blood of His Son and now you drag it through the mud? You're not going to make a friend out of me disgracing my children. Amen? Now, my children got more faults than you can shake a stick at, but they're between me and my children. Amen? And you better keep your slimy little mouth off of them. Amen? I'm God's child. Somebody say amen. I belong to Jesus Christ. Now, when I take the name of Christ and drag it through the mud and disgrace it and humiliate it, I'm telling you, I anger God Almighty. And you wonder why sometimes we don't have the blessing of God in our families and on our lives? It's because of the way we live and what we've done to the name of Jesus Christ. So what we do? We turn back. I'm supposed to be a peculiar person, zealous of good works. Amen. He has made us kings and priests. I'm not supposed to act like a beggar. I'm a king. I'm not supposed to act like a heathen. Why? Because I'm a priest of the Most High God. That's why. I have a duty. I have an obligation. I'm a member of the family. I have a reputation to protect. I have a family to protect. And it's not right for me to turn back and live like I did before I got saved, before I became a Christian. I see y'all excited already. I'll make this as brief as I can. I only have 10 points. I'll give you some things I'm not going to turn back to. By the grace of God, I don't say that boastfully. I am aware that my adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that if I'm not careful, he'll get me. Paul said a couple of things that everybody ought to memorize and remember every single day of your life. Number one, Paul said, I die daily. I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Amen. Then Paul said, we are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. I'm sick and tired of stupid Christians saying stupid stuff like this. Some idiot moron Christian who's saved and on his way to glory will say, well, preacher, I know myself. I know what I can handle. I know how far I'm going to go. No, you don't. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You don't. Amen. Best thing you can do, have no confidence in the flesh. Best thing you can do, die daily. Keep your body under, bring it in subjection. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to give you 10 ways that'll help. It'll still be a fight, but it'll help. Number one, I'm not going to turn back to the sins of my youth. Amen. Amen. Now, how about you? I got saved from something. Amen. I think that's one of the problems of modern-day Christianity. Nobody getting saved from anything. We preach that stuff, well, you know, just ask Jesus to save you and come in your heart and everything will be fine. And folks buy that nonsense and there's no repentance. Nobody hates sin anymore. They say, well, come on, Jesus loves you and he'll take you just like you are. Well, he may take you like you are, but I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. He won't leave you like you are. Yeah. Amen. He's going to make you a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're saved by God's grace, he may have took you like you were, but I guarantee you he did not leave you like you were. And if you are still like you were, I ain't sure he took you. Amen. Amen. Jesus told Peter, he said, when thou art converted. I'm working on July the 22nd on, are you converted? You don't want to miss it. Well, maybe you do. It might make some of y'all question your salvation. I didn't say, are you saved? The question is, are you converted? Amen. All the difference. Anyway, that's another message in another month. I got to get back to this. The sins of my youth. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You say, weren't they fun? Oh, yeah. I'm here to tell you, son, I was a happy camper as a lost man. I like doing all the stuff the world did. I like going to... one of our best friends was Connie and Fred Tingle. He was the vice president of Peavey Electronics. They were our next door neighbors. And they used to have big parties. And we'd go and I'd go over there and drink his vodka, you know. I enjoyed that stuff. Big old fancy house, hobnobbing with the big shots, spending money, drinking expensive whiskey. What's not to like? The flesh likes that. Don't lie to me. Your flesh likes it. But it was sending me to hell. I was lost without God and without hope, headed to a devil's hell. I was going to die and perish forever and ever. And I got saved. And I'm not going back down. I'm not going back to the party life. I'm not going back to the drinking life. I'm not going back down to the dope house and all that. I ain't going there no more. The sins of my youth, by the grace of God, are behind me. They are gone. And I want to crucify myself and stay away from that nonsense. I had no peace and I had no joy in those days. I was filled with fear and doubt and trembling. Had no hope of tomorrow. And when I got saved, God Almighty took that stuff and replaced it with peace and joy. I ain't swapping it again. I ain't going back to that nonsense. There is nothing in the old life I want back. The devil and his crowd are welcome to all of it. I'm not going back to the sins of my youth. I'm not going back to the friends of yesteryear either. You know why a lot of folks don't make it in the Christian life? They're just dumb, that's why. You may be smart as a whip in a lot of ways. But if you got saved by God's grace and you think you can hang on to the same old friends you had before you got saved, you're nuts. You ain't got walking around sin. We need to get you committed to a spiritual institution someplace. Amen. Say, well, they're my friends. No, they're not your friend. If the people you hang around with don't draw you closer to God, if they don't encourage you in the things of God, if they don't help you to be more spiritual, if they don't make you walk closer to God Almighty, they are not your friend. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much fun they are. They're your enemy. They're the enemy of your soul. My friends help me live for God. Louis Steele is my friend. I hope I can say that. I'm going to be his friend whether he's mine or not. You know why he's my friend? Because he doesn't say or do anything to slow me down in my walk with Jesus Christ. He is there to encourage and help and promote. He wants me to be godly. He wants me to have the power of God. He wants me to live right. That's the kind of friends I want. And if you don't have them kind of friends, in God's name, get rid of them. Amen. So, well, what would I do? God will give you some more friends. God will give you some more friends. I didn't have many when I was lost. I still ain't got many. But at least the ones I got now ain't trying to hurt me. Amen. That fellow said, listen, you know, you can go to church in the morning. Let's just go out and have a drink or two tonight. That's not your friend. Amen. Amen. That fellow that wants you to listen to the wrong kind, they're not your friend. My friends want me to do good for God. My friends want me to be more spiritual. That's the kind of folks I want to hang around. And if you're not that way, if you don't promote my spirituality, I don't want to be around you. God knows I got enough problems just like it is. Number three, I'm not going back to the sins of my youth. I'm not going to turn back to the friends of yesteryear. And I'm not going to hang out in the hangouts of the past. There's some places I ain't going. You ain't going to find me in the bars and the honky-tonks and the pool halls. People say, well, there's nothing wrong with shooting pool. No, but there's something wrong with being around them folks down there drinking, smoking, lying, cussing, and telling dirty jokes. The Bible said, be not among wine bibblers and riotous eaters of flesh. Don't be among the party goers. I just ain't going there. Amen? They say, well, they're having a party. You don't have to drink. You can... No. And I don't have to look at the scantily clad women and listen to the rock and roll music and smell their tobacco and smell their alcohol and watch all the shenanigans that's going on. This one hitting on that one and this one hitting on that one and two cheating over here. I ain't going. You say, well, I think you can go and still be a Christian. Help yourself, stupid. I ain't going. Say, why? I'm not turning back. I'm not going back where I came from. I'm 34 years down the road, and by the grace of Almighty God, I'm not going back one inch. I want to go this way. Amen. I'm not turning back to the hangouts of the old life. I'm just not going there. You say, well, you know, you might could reach them. No, I'm going to tell you what happened. When you go down there in them places, you're only going to get to talk to one or two, and everybody else down there thinks you're going to do what they're doing. You go to one of them parties where they're drinking and doping and swapping around and being immoral, and you make anybody else down there think that's what you're down there for. Go ahead. You ain't going to make me believe it. I see you down at one of them parties for 3 or 4 hours. I think you're up to no good. So, well, preacher, you shouldn't just always suspect bad. Why? Why? What am I supposed to think when you're in a place like that? I know what they do down there. Amen. Don't you understand that's the only reason to go? Amen. I'm not going back to the hangouts of the past. I'll tell you something else. I'm not going back to the music of long ago. Amen. Amen. Now you can do what you want to. I want spiritual music. Amen. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Southern gospel. Some of which is not too spiritual. I want to hear music that talks about God and heaven. I want to hear music that encourages me in the faith, that lifts me up and pumps me up. And when my heart is heavy and things aren't going well, I want it to give me a little boost. I want a little shot in the arm. I do not listen. When I was lost, I loved Creedence Clearwater Revival. Anybody ever heard him? Man, he had the best sounding little guitar you ever heard. Bad Moon Rising, Down on the Corner, Proud Mary. I love that stuff. But you know something? I've listened to Creedence Clearwater for hours on end, and I never thought about God. I never thought about heaven. I never thought about doing right. You know, but it makes you feel good. You know, I went to a singing Friday night. We drove up to Morganton. spent the night, got us a nice Hampton Inn room up there, and went up and heard the Greens and the Whisnets and the Kingsmen. Had a big, nice auditorium. And man, they got up there, and the little Taranda Green got up and sang that song, Sky Full of Angels. Honey, I'm here to tell you, I felt good. I felt good. I mean, she was bouncing around. That little girl can't stand still. She was singing. It's upbeat, up-tempo kind of a thing. And she's singing about that sky full of angels. Ain't nobody going to take my soul but Jesus. I was going to get them to sing with her. If I thought they wasn't going to ask for their money back, that's where I'd have been. I'd been right up there with her, buddy. I can bounce with the best of them. So wait on. That music, God's music make you feel good. Man, she got to thinking about, singing about that, and I was thinking about the protection of God and how God looks out for His children. I mean, it made me feel pretty good. Amen. I'm not going back to George Jones and Tammy Wynette and what's that thing they sang? D-I-V-O-R-Z, you know, they sang that song about divorce. And I got $2 in a jukebox and a bottle of wine or whatever it was. And don't call him a cowboy till you see him riding all that stuff. I ain't going back there. All that stuff was about adultery and wife swapping and cheating and being cheated on and cheating on, and I want my baby back, and she ran off with the postman and all that nonsense, you know. That stuff make you listen to that stuff, you want to blow your brains out. That's crying your beer music. I was in the Navy. We was over in Hong Kong, Sasebo, and one of the big heroes over there was Hank Williams. Not Hank Williams Jr., the real one. This was in the 70s or whatever it was, and they were still playing Hank Williams. You're cheating hard. I'm walking the floor over you. Scenes from Life's Other Side. You know what them guys do? They sit there, they're 12,000 miles away from home, they're 12,000 miles away from their youngins, they're 12,000 miles away from their wife. They're lonely, they're depressed, they're sad. They sit there and listen to that tear-jerking music, and they sit there and they cry in their beer and feel sorry for themselves. No, sir, I'm not going back to that music. I want God's music. I want the hymns of Zion. I want the church song. I want the Kingsmen and the Whisnets, and I want Gold City. I want something that's upbeat and up-tempo that tells me about God and forgiveness and God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and my home in heaven. That's what I want. I ain't going back to the other stuff. I ain't going back. You go back if you want to. Go ahead. Help yourself. Ruin your life. I ain't going. You have to go by yourself. I'm not going back to the music of long ago. I'll tell you something else. I'm not going to turn back to the shame of a life filled with wickedness either. But that old thing, you know, when you sin and you're worried about being found out, when you do wicked things, you always live with a sense of shame. People find out where you've been, what you're doing. You know what you do? You try to start making excuses. So why? Because you're ashamed of what you did. I want to tell you something, son. I get up on Sunday morning and get dressed, turn on the gospel music television on the satellite thing there. It's 9770, and put on that Southern gospel music, turn it up nice and loud, sit down at my kitchen table and go over my sermon notes, get dressed. My grandkids come down. They all came down this morning, and I give them all a big old hug, and I dance around there with Kristen to one of them little old songs, you know, and then they had to leave, and I finished getting dressed and got my coffee and come down to church. I'm thinking about preaching. I'm thinking about the folks at God. I'm thinking about going to lunch after. And not one time in all of that did I have any shame or sorrow or regret or see anything I needed to hide or cover up. I just love that. Amen. What you see is what you get. Amen. Hire a detective. Have them follow me around. What you see right here, what you're going to get no matter where I'm at. Now, sometimes I may be a little gruffer than I am here. Brother Lewis showed up at my work the other day, and I was having a bad day. I was a little short. He can't say nothing. He was too. That is, having a bad day and short. Amen. And so we mutually massaged each other there and made each other feel better. But it wasn't nothing I had to be ashamed of. It wasn't nothing I had to hide. It wasn't nothing there I didn't want you to find out. Amen. That's the way you ought to live your life. If you found out the worst thing in the world about you, I wouldn't be hurt or disappointed or shocked or dismayed or anything. I said, oh my soul, sweetheart. Do you know what I found out about Brother Steele today? He don't like Mountain Dews. The worst thing I know about him. Do you like Mountain Dews? See, you are wicked as the devil. I know he don't like chicken. But Brother Lewis is so gracious sometimes. We went up to Chicago. I'll get back to the message in a minute. I love people that have perception and grace because I have a hard time with that. I want to do better. I really do. It's just not natural for me. But we went up to Hammond and we went out for lunch one day and they have this Boston market and they have really great rotisserie chicken. And we've been a lot of other places. And I said, let's go to Boston market. He said, okay. So we went and I get me a big old half a rotisserie chicken and all the junk that goes with it, you know, real greasy and nasty. And I noticed he loaded his tray up with veggies and this kind of stuff. And we're back there and I'm eating away and I said, don't you like chicken? No. He don't eat much chicken. But you know, he didn't upset us. Doggone word. He just graced it out and went. I really appreciated that. Amen? That's about the worst thing I know about him. He don't like chicken. Now that's close to the unpardonable sin. Amen? Especially if you're Southern and white. I don't want a life filled with shame. Amen. I want a life that's an open book. Amen. If somebody comes and says, hey, oh, I saw your preacher the other day. I ain't going to have to worry about it. Oh, what are they going to say? Amen. I ain't going back there. I'm not going back there. I've been in that life. Wondering what you're going to find out on Monday morning you did on Friday or Saturday. Lay at home all day Sunday with a hangover and headache and all that stuff trying to get well. So good. I ain't going back there. I got over that 34 years ago, and by the grace of Almighty God, I ain't going back anymore. I'll tell you something else. I'm not going back to the fears of the past. So what fears? When am I going to get caught? Who's going to find out what I'm up to? Do they know? If so-and-so finds out, what are they going to say? You know, unsaved people live their life in fear. I don't want to go there. I read some medical reports where it said fear and tension take years off your life. Well, I'm having such a good time living, I don't want to die early. Amen? So I'm doing everything I can to get all the fear and all the tension and all the dread and all the apprehension out of my life. Amen? And I found out when you do right and live out in the open, there ain't no fear and tension. All that fear and tension, all that apprehension, all that dread comes when you're doing something you ought not do. People say, oh, I need something for depression. I'm going to get rid of it. Quit doing wrong. Amen. Just do right. You get rid of 90% of it. Amen? You're looking, fella, I am so tension free. I have to glue myself to stand up straight. I ain't fretting over nothing. I'm not fretting over anything. I'm not sweating nothing. I ain't hiding nothing. Amen. And it feels good. You know why I can get up here and preach and shout and talk about all the worst things in the world and have a good time and laugh? Because my past is gone and I ain't going back there no more. That's why. Amen. I'm not gonna turn back to the fears of yesteryear. I got rid of that, buddy. When I got saved, that fear of dying and going to hell, God took that thing out of my heart. Now I've worried sometimes about being in the will of God and doing what God wanted it and doing the way God wanted it to do, but I ain't never one time in 34 years I ever worried about dying and going to hell. I doubted my salvation and I knew I was going to heaven. Explain that. Because His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of the King. And buddy, the devil can make me doubt, but the Holy Spirit said in the center, well, if you're not saved, how come you're not worried about going to hell? Amen? And I ain't worried about it. That's like that fella said up at Brother Lince's, you know, he said, I tell you right now, preacher, he said, I could swing out over hell on a rotten cornstalk and shoot the devil with my squirt gun. I don't know if I want to try that or not, but I ain't worried about going to hell. Am I going to turn back to the fears of the past? I'll tell you something else. I'm not going to turn back to the hopelessness of the unforgiven. Do you understand that folks who are not saved, how hopeless they are? Here they are out doing everything they can in every way they know how to find peace and joy and make sure that when they die, they'll be okay. And it's hopeless. There's no other name given among men whereby we must we be saved. Amen? No man comes unto the Father but by me. But they think by doing good works and being religious and being this, that, and the other, and if they're not too good or too bad and their good outweighs their bad, no, they're going to make it. They're hopeless. They have no hope for tomorrow. Hope is found in Jesus Christ. My hope of the resurrection is in Jesus Christ. And I am not going to turn back to a life of hopelessness. I'm not going to discard Jesus Christ and then try and trust me and have to worry about and fret over whether I made the right decision or whether it's going to work out okay. I'm not going back there. I don't like that sense of hopelessness. Maybe y'all don't understand what hopelessness or helplessness is. Some years ago, there's a building called the Guardian Fidelity Building over in Rock Hill. It's a 5 or 6 story building. And up on the top of the 3rd floor, they have a cooling tower for their chillers. It was raining, it was dark, and it was cold. The stupid thing was down. I had to go fix it. I get up on top of the roof, I'm working with a flashlight. It's wooden slats, they are moldy and they are slick. I'm up on top of the 3rd floor, up on top of the cooling tower. And the cooling tower is mounted right on the edge. And from the edge of the cooling tower to the edge of the roof is 18 inches. And from the edge of the roof to the floor, to the ground, which is solid concrete, is 3 floors. I really wasn't happy about being up there if you just want to know the truth. But, being the man that I am, I was up there. And I got the thing fixed, and I'm starting to get down, I'm getting all my stuff together. And my foot slipped out from under me. On this side. This side is 3 floors to the ground. I fell off the cooling tower. There's nobody there. There is nothing to grab onto. There is nothing to hold on to. All I could do was give one of them Nehemiah prayers. Y'all know what Nehemiah prayer is. Nehemiah said, "Oh God." I had just about time for one Nehemiah prayer. And I caught that ledge. I cracked both wrists. Both my hands swelled up that big. I walked around for weeks with cast things on them. But I caught myself on that ledge. I could have leaned forward like that and went the other 3 floors. It's just the grace of God. But you're talking about a sense of hopelessness or helplessness? Fall. You would give anything on this planet for something to grab. Anything. Nothing. When you slip, you know the next step or the next instant of time is when you bang into the bottom. And there's nothing. You are absolutely powerless to do anything about it. That's as helpless as you can get. If you don't have Jesus Christ, that's just how helpless, that's just how hopeless you are. I'm not going to. I found me a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there to be with me and watch over me and keep me safe. I'm telling you, I'm not, by the grace of Almighty God, I'm not going back. I'm not going to turn back to the uncertainty of the unbelieving. You know, folks who are not saved, never know where they stand. You know what the big difference between saved people and unsaved people? All of us saved people say, "I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Amen. Paul said, "And we who are saved do that, and we who are kept by the power of God do that." The thing about a Christian is we know. We know. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You know what I see people say? They say, "I don't believe you can know till you die." I've always thought, man, that's a heck of a time to find out, isn't it? A heck of a time to find out. The difference between saved folks and unsaved folks is we have certainty. I know I'm saved. I was there. The night that I passed from death unto life, I was there. The night Jesus Christ saved me and sealed me and washed me whiter than snow, I was there. You can't tell me it didn't happen. I was an eyewitness. Amen. I know that I know that I know I'm a child of the King. He that hath the Son hath life. The unsaved world doesn't have that. They're unsure. They're uncertain. I hope I'm going to make it. Well, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. I think I'll be all right. Lord have mercy. You live that way if you want to, son. That drives me crazy. If I had to live like that, I'd be drunk. I'm just serious, a heart attack. If I had to live like that, wonder that he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. I'd be in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm saved. I'd just be done with it. I'd get saved real quick and blow my brains out. Amen? I don't think I can live like that. I'm just not made that way. I'm one of them people, I got to know something. I got to be sure about it. And I'm not going back to the uncertainty. Say, how do you do that? You know, Christians that get out of the will of God and go back to the old life lose their assurance. I didn't say they lose their salvation. I said they lose their assurance. I've known people who were saved for years and years and years and lived for God and loved God, and then they get a little cold and get a little backslid and get in sin and go back to the old ways, the old life, the old friends, the old habits. They get back out there, and the first thing you know, say, are you saved? Well, preacher, I used to think so. Well, preacher, I think I am. They used to know. Say, what changed? Did God change? Did their salvation change? No, sirree. I'll tell you what changed. They got back out there in that old world, and they quenched the Holy Spirit, and they grieved the Holy Spirit, and God is not witnessing to their soul anymore, and they're not sure anymore. And I don't want to live that way. I need to know that I'm a child of God. Now, you're looking at one fat old man that, by the grace of God, is not going to die and go to hell. Am I going? If there's any way out of it, if whatever the price has to be, I'm not going. I read in that book that he that hath the Son hath life. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. But are you talking about the deal of a lifetime, the deal of a millennium? Right there it is. Salvation by grace through faith in the finished blood atonement of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That's the ticket right there. Didn't cost me a dime. God gave it to me. And when he gave it to me, he gave me the peace and the joy and the assurance. And I'm not going back to that life of uncertainty. Hope so, maybe so, think so, might be. I ain't living on that. I'm not living there. I want to stay close to Jesus Christ. I want the Spirit of God to say, Bob, you are sorry, good for nothing, low down rascal. But you're saved. You ain't worth saving, but you're saved anyway. You ain't much of a son, but you're a son. You ain't been much of a disciple, but you're a disciple. You ain't much of a preacher, but you're God's youngin' anyway. I need to know that. I'm not going back. And then, like Lot's wife, she turned back to destruction. I'm not going to turn back to destruction. So, preacher, I thought you believed one second. I do. I didn't say anything about losing your soul salvation. I'm talking about God putting you in an early grave, killing you, taking your peace, your joy, your testimony, your family, everything you got. I don't want to go there. I'm scared. I'm scared. I remember one time, Billy Kelly used to preach a message, God, set your fields on fire. And a friend of mine named Sandy Rogers heard that message, set your fields on fire. He said it was, Bobby said, it was just like God turned my head around and all I could see was my little boy and my little girl. He said, there was my field. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid to quit serving God. I was afraid to quit living right. He said, I was afraid God would take my children. I don't know whether God would have or not. I don't know. But he thought he might, and it scared him. Amen. I don't want to turn back to destruction. I don't want to get away from God and God has to take me out or take one of my family members to straighten me up. I ain't turning back to that. if for no other reason, I would stay close to God for their protection. I'm not turning back. It's been a long, long journey. It's been a wicked fight. But I ain't going back.
Amen.
I ain't going back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord God, I pray that you'd help the people of God, the men and women, the boys and girls in this place, this day, to reach down in the recesses of their heart, into the depths of their soul, and purpose before Almighty God, come what may, no matter what, I will not turn back. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.